This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
What a crazy night we had last night. And I'm not even talking politics. I'm talking ACC basketball, my man.
Where do you want to start?
The glob has never been more spectacular. That's what I wrote on Twitter. Wes, we got the 15th place team, the 14th place team going, bring them on. Bring them on. That's where we are. Welcome to college basketball 2020.
I don't know what to tell you. How about all three games last night, the lower ranked,
sure,
the lower slotted team won. We had our third multiple overtime game of the ACC season.
Dave O'Brien on the call, Mr.
Dave,
Overtime.
I mean, come on, Dave. I wonder what O'Brien has worked out in his deal. Seriously. Can we find out if he gets a clause for overtimes?
Goodness gracious.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
I will tell you, of the three games that we previewed yesterday for last night's men's action.
Yes, sir.
I would have thought, if you would have said, Pack, all right, the show's over, off the record, rank the interest level in terms of what you think is going to happen of the games.
State Carolina would have been one.
Yeah.
Clemson, Georgia Tech would have been two, and
right.
Duke Wake would have been
no
three.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And sure enough, you know, 7 o'clock game start. I get down on the radio, going to go up, grab a little dinner, see what's going on,
sure.
Feed up.
Yeah.
Watch a little hoops, and I'm thinking, what's going on here?
Right.
Because, the one game that I really thought was kind of the, yeah, whatever. I mean, Duke only beat him by, 31 the first go around. And
yeah.
Wake's had, again, highs and lows. But Duke, you know, coming after the wake-up call a week ago in Raleigh, hey, man, we got ourselves a ball game.
Right.
And, boy, did we ever. And then Duke kind of takes control in the second half. You're like, okay, you know, we're back to the right alignment. And, hey, Deeks are down 9 with a buck 21 to go. Ain't no problem.
Right.
Let's go play.
It's unbelievable.
And
isn't it?
And poor John, you know, Childress can't make a shot. Decides, it's my time. And takes over. Just takes over.
Well, and Duke does a phenomenal job for, 25, 30 minutes he plays in Durham where he goes scoreless. And then his first field goal is the shot to send it to overtime.
Right.
Right here. Look at this now.
Perfect.
Big shots in Wake history. Oof. I don't know where this one falls in the pantheon of Deacon big shots, but right there is pretty strong. And then, you know, you just get this whole deal going where, and watch him weave here. Watch, that's Trey Jones now. Nice screen by Aguama.
Perfect.
Bang. And then here's the other thing. In the first overtime, it looks like they're going to get the thing to the house.
Yeah. Sure did.
And then Duke makes great plays.
Unbelievable.
But then you get into the second overtime and good heavens, what a moment for Brandon Childress. What a moment for Danny Manning and Wake Forest. And they snap an 11 game losing streak to Duke, I guess it is. And, by the way, as you look at some of the numbers, the final 115 of regulation and the two overtimes, look at the field goal percentage for Wake Forest. By the way, how about the free throws? 28 of 31.
Yeah, we only had 84 free throw attempts
in the game.
84.
Wake shot 50.
Half a hundred.
50 free throws last night against Duke.
Boy, the ACC index card was busy last night, folks. We're going to get to that as the show goes on. Just saying.
It's an interesting dynamic because in regulation with what, Pack? 2 minutes, minute and a half to go, Duke's up what, 3 possessions?
Duke's up 9 with a buck 21 to go.
That's it. 3 possessions with 121 to go.
And you got Trey Jones. I mean, I know there's dudes in foul trouble and fouling out, but you still got Trey Jones with the ball in his hand. Hey, man, it's college hoops. Kind of a dose of what to expect in March, right?
We've seen it bring it every night.
Season long. We have seen this all season long. It's crazy.
Now, real quick, the note on this. Two notes. One, Wake Forest keeps the pressure on Carolina for 15. But remember now, Wake wins this game at 7 o'clock, ends about, 9:15 or something like that, 9:30?
At least.
Yeah. Almost the first half of the entire Clemson-Georgia Tech game is gone.
Next time I saw that game ended, and I see Dan Bonner at halftime.
Yeah, that's it.
With the frisbee-catching dogs.
That's it. So Wake still has the game lead on Carolina.
They play next week.
But, yes, they do, in Chapel Hill. But here's the other thing. Virginia Tech, Miami, and Pitt, I'd like to welcome you back into the mix now, too.
As I said on Twitter, the glob has never been more spectacular. And it even brought the whole gamut together last night, given what happened at the bottom.
But now Duke and Louisville with four losses. I'd like you to welcome Virginia.
That's where I was going to go with you. You're looking at the bottom.
I looked at the bottom and the top last night when the game ended, and I thought, oh, boy.
And guess who Duke plays this weekend?
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about things getting real interesting.
In Charlottesville.
Yeah. I'm just saying, you grab it. And here's this group, though, in Tallahassee, got their feet up, sipping on something cold to drink last night. And everybody in Tallahassee got a smile on their face because, you know what, prior to that game last night, Duke had the tiebreaker on Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
Now Florida State's got a little comfort because, remember, they swept Louisville, so they got that tiebreaker. They're a game in front of Duke.
Right.
Now, granted, Florida State still has to go to Clemson. They still have to go to Notre Dame. There are places where they can stub their toe. But as far as the ACC regular season, we talked about the importance of being number one. Florida State, all of a sudden, in a span of 24 hours – feels really, really good.
Especially.
Spot.
But they got to go to South Bend, play shooters.
That's what I just said. They had to go to Clemson. Yeah. They got to go to Notre Dame.
Clemson, Notre Dame. I mean, you go to South Bend to play a bunch of shooters in their building. BPI, by the way, gives – I know this is your favorite.
No, my favorite's luck, the luck ranking.
Okay. Well, I don't know how that works.
Very unlucky lesson.
But BPI gives Duke a 75% chance to win at Virginia.
You know, when they pulled the sleepwalking trick in Raleigh, take nothing away from NC State, who was great. We'll get to the Wolfpack here, trust me, momentarily. I thought that was the wake-up call, didn't you? Like, you know, everybody gets one of those late normally. Louisville had their week, remember? At Georgia Tech, didn't look enthused, blown out at Clemson. Now they had to respond. Duke stubs their toe in NC State, was awesome against the Hokies. And then last night... you know, everybody kind of goes to it except one team, Florida State. They're the ones that have not lost back-to-back games. Just saying. And now you look at the standings. Florida State's number one. You mentioned Virginia. All of a sudden, that Virginia-Duke game has much more added importance.
Virginia's going to have such a say in this.
Well, not only that, but Virginia also needs to keep winning based on their bubble. And everyone, we're just assuming Virginia's in. It's not a layup for the Hoos.
Well, but
because they still have Louisville left.
Totally agree. I would offer this, however. If Virginia wants to ensure their spot, and I think their spot is insured, I would tell you this. I think Virginia, if you finish tied with Louisville or tied with Duke or whatever the case may be, Pac, I think you're going to clear that hurdle and you're going to be in the event. The question I have after last night is, because of what happened in Chapel Hill, does the window for Notre Dame get a little wider, even though they don't have as pronounced a non-conference win? They're just 500 in this league. That's a dangerous precedent on 20 games to have going the first year for the ACC. So now we've played ourselves from the conversation of certainly, and Joe Lunardi still has NC State in this morning, by the way, in his bracketology, in that last four in. But the question I would have is this. Do you think now you've shrunk your chances of 5 to 4 by the way the standings look going to Greensboro?
Last night doesn't appear to help the ACC's cause. Not only did it not help the ACC's cause in terms of numbers getting in, again, there's still plenty of games left to be played here. But even at the top, as you and I discussed, who could make a run to a one seed? I think that Duke loss last night eliminates them in the one seed conversation.
Oh, it puts them on, I think, in Joe's case, and I'll have to go back and look this. I think Joe put them on the three line last night.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I thought all of these teams, Louisville, Florida State, Duke, were in a two spot with a break in front of you, and if you can run the table, maybe you can get a spot in the one line. Not that this really matters at the end of the day because you got to still go play. But Duke losing last night, that loss last night was not good.
No.
In terms of this conversation.
Right. The NC State loss, you can actually accept more because of the season they're having.
That wasn't a good loss. That was
But the Wake loss was worse. You think the Wake loss worse than the NC State loss?
NC State losing to North.
Talking about Wake. Duke's loss at NC State.
Oh,
the Wake loss in Winston's worse than the NC State loss.
Oh, sure. No question. I mean, NC State's got 5 quad one wins. Mm-hmm. I mean, now, when you start taking inventory and when the quad ones, NC State's tied for first in that conversation in this league. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the NC State loss in some respects was, well, that's one you can stomach. if you're Duke. You know, it's a wake-up call. But that loss last night now, that's a bad loss for Duke in terms of where they want to go.
Right.
Now,
again, they're not going to get a one. I mean, I
think it kind of takes them out of the conversation, to be honest with you. You can't lose a game like that late and be sitting there saying, hey, we ought to be a one seed.
By the way,
I'm not saying that Duke is saying that, but I'm just, for our conversation, can somebody become a one seed out of this league
right.
when men's basketball? You'd have to now say Florida State's got the best shot. They're going to have to win out.
Quick clarity, point of clarity on Joe Lunardi, who has Duke as a number two, but they're the last number two. So they're like the last two, first three area. The loss in Joe's mind pushes Dayton to the next in line for the one seed.
Hmm.
And there's some, you know, San Diego State and Colorado State and all this other stuff. The Flyers and San Diego State would swap seeds. So anyway, we'll get to more of that in the next couple of weeks as we move through the week.
You know, you almost have to let it play out. I mean, I know that's a kind of a cop-out answer because you want somebody to say, oh, that's they're like all going to be.
What I normally do during the week.
I know, but I mean, really, this thing, college basketball this year is so goofy. And I keep harping on, man, there's a bunch of really good teams, but nobody's safe. I mean, as good as Kansas and Baylor are, and I think they're really good, you know, Florida State's last 20 minutes against Louisville, they look like the best team on the planet. Hey, this thing's going to play it out, man. It's going to be a great – I cannot wait for March Madness.
What was that number, 50-something?
There were 57 AP Top 10 teams had lost.
58 after Duke last night.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. We'll blow that number away. That, I mean, there's going to be more L's 60. Coming.
I think we'll get to 60.
Sure. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Crazy, isn't it? Almost – Do we want to go to Chapel Hill yet, or we want to?
No, we're going to wait.
Let's wait.
We're going to wait.
Let's listen to Mike Krzyzewski from last night. In fact, the coach, probably wasn't very happy last night because not only was the 113 points tied for the most that have been surrendered by a Duke opponent in his 40 years, I'm going to guess that the half a hundred free throw attempts also didn't sit very well with the head coach of the Blue Devils.
I'm angry with us for fouling so much. I mean, they had, I think, 18 free throws in the first half. And we fouled. I'm not blaming the officials. And then we didn't foul. And that's the key in order for us to beat them, that they score a lot from the foul line. And we didn't get messed over or anything. They just then started to be real aggressive, and we had 15 fouls by our three big guys. So obviously our post defense was not good. You can't keep putting them on the line. And not only that, when you foul, you go to the double bonus. So those 15 fouls got them into the bonus quicker. You know, it's a weird game tonight. And I'm disappointed in our group.
Really good to see the old Mike conglomerate on the press table. We don't get to see that much anymore. We had all three television stations in Wake Forest and everything else on the table last night.
By the way, the infamous ACC index card.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Free throw attempts in ACC games. Wake Forest is number one. Duke is number two.
Well, they shot 50 last night.
I understand this is for the year. Wake is number one. He's ACC games only. Again, I am not here pointing fingers. I am just telling you what the numbers are. It is the beauty of the infamous ACC index card. Top three in the league. Wake Forest is number one.
Mm.
Duke is number two. North Carolina is number three. That's all I'm going to tell you. That's for you folks out there in TV land and radio land to have some fun with. Wake 1, Duke 2, North Carolina 3, free throw attempts in ACC games.
All right.
Infamous ACC index card. Been going since 1997.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Oh, there's plenty more.
Before we go to break?
No. Just in this, and that is in terms of Coach K's comments, and he's 100% right.
Yeah.
About Wake Forest going to the line.
Deeks can shoot
times.
Free throws, by the way.
The Deeks get to the line. They foul a lot, and they get to the line a lot.
They can shoot, though.
I understand that.
Pretty good free throw shooting.
When you're up 9 with a buck 21, you got to close. I mean, there's another team we've been talking about with that kind of craziness.
I think
because
Danny Manning and I went to that old Jack Jensen stay-at-home basketball camp at the Greensboro Y 1,000 years ago.
Is that why
they're a good free throw shooter.
All right.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Oh, no. Really? Oh, no.
Here's our boy, Ives. Do you think he slept yet?
No.
The Heels won a game, and Ives is just – he didn't even sleep last night. He was so excited.
Death, taxes, and Roy Williams beating State. Williams is now 57-10 against the Wolfpack as a collegiate coach, be it as an assistant or head coach. He's 37-4 as a head coach and 20-6 as an assistant. It's good to see Brian is back breathing.
Yep. He's gotten all the sharp objects out of the room. The bubble wrap has been put in the closet. And even a 39-point loss by the Hornets last night could not stop Brian Ives from being so excited.
Or the fact that Matt Rhule said Cam Newton's his quarterback today.
No, that's a whole separate show. That's a whole separate ESPN production is what that is. All right, Wes. We really are going to play the whole song, aren't we? All right, let's get to
You tried to tell people.
I did. I was trying to be gentle because you could see it coming. You could see this one coming. And even when it was 10-0 last night, 10-0 NC State.
That was like that in Raleigh.
You're looking at it, you're going, oh, boy. You know, hold on. You knew. We've seen this movie so many times.
They brought the Charlie Scott uniforms back out again.
I love those.
They look good, too.
In fact,
boy.
Both sides. Everything about that was sweet.
Yeah.
Unlike that Duke, North Carolina disaster.
The practice game. The practice game with the practice
jerseys. Those last night were spectacularly good.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of jerseys.
Oh, yeah. We got Ralph Fletcher hanging over here.
Yeah. Had to change it up. But my goodness, Wes, just think about the emotion of being an NC State fan. Right? And just hear me out here. In the last week, let me tell you what NC State fans have gone through in the last week. A week ago, they're in the process of taking Mike Krzyzewski and Duke and just woodshedding them and looked great doing it, right?
Yep. Right.
People were celebrating, got the marquee win, deep sigh of relief, looking great in the NCAA tournament. We got Florida State coming up. And you know what? Here come the Noles on the weekend. Who did that game, by the way? Oh, yeah. So NC State is up at halftime with Wes Durham on the call.
Yeah.
And then the second half kind of got away from them.
Mm-hmm.
People, coach even, claiming about the free throw discrepancy, and I don't know if that's a fine, but that'll be his problem. But they lose the game, but still.
Right.
You're like, okay, you know, you need to go 1-1. And State fans, despite the second half of the Florida State game, still in a great spot. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're on the good side of the bubble. Team's playing well, playing some confidence. Markell Johnson looks good. And now you look at the schedule, and you go, oh, boy, we get North Carolina. We are so overdue to beat these guys, it's not even funny. Yeah, I know, 31-35. Yeah, I know, Roy. Yeah. And you're up 10-0 on North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd's kind of flat.
Still working their way into the building for a 9 o'clock
kinda,
start.
It just kind of felt, okay, you know what? We're all right, man. We got a double-digit lead right out of the gate. North Carolina kind of feels defeated. Let's go. At halftime, you're now trailing. Now you get the lead second half. And North Carolina decides to go, okay, enough. We're North Carolina. You're NC State. We're going to go on a 22-4 run. Catch you later. Ball game. See ya. And now NC State, in the span of a week, goes from the high of beating Duke, and I mean beating Duke, to now being swept by this North Carolina team. Welcome to being an NC State fan, right?
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's like the perfect snapshot of NC State. In a span of a week, you've had an unbelievable high and a ridiculous low. And that's who you are. It's kind of crazy. You can't figure them out. I mean, you can figure them out, but you don't know when it's going to happen, right?
Good news for the Wolfpack. You're still in the NCAA tournament, according to Joe Lunardi.
And your wrestling team is the ACC champs.
Well, there you go.
And your baseball team is the last unbeaten in ACC play.
So you got that.
So there's some positivity there.
There was always this thing when they were losing 7 in a row. And we talked about the margin of error for Carolina. Last night, the margin of error for Carolina, they were able to overcome it by hitting shots.
And free throws, Garrison Brooks.
Holy smokes. But for the most part last night, Cole Anthony played under control.
Yep.
Christian Keeling gave him some nice minutes off the bench.
Again.
Did a good job. And they pointed to play Keeling and Justin Pierce, and they moved guys around. I thought Leaky Black was pretty steady last night for them. You know, you start looking at the way the game is played. Here's the thing about the ACC, and it's not going to get any play beyond the walls of this league. It's not that far from 5 to 15 is what we're finding out.
It's the glob, man.
I know, but it's really not that far. And last night might be one example of it. But on the whole, when you start to look at, you know, from NC State down to Carolina, you're really talking about 4.5 to 5 losses separating all those teams, which is fractions or moments of games in ACC play. But Carolina last night shot it from the line very well, and I thought that was one of the big reasons. Obviously rebounded it well again. Look, NC State made some plays early, but you got to be able to finish this stuff. And the concerning part I would have as a Wolfpack fan right now is your road work. Last two times you've been to the road, lost to BC and you lost to Carolina.
43 conference games have been decided by 5 points or less.
That is correct.
So when, again, not that this is exclusive to the ACC, but when you have that many games in conference play that are basically two possessions, either way, difference between a W or an L, and you look at the glob, which includes everyone from 8-8 to where North Carolina is, and realize what a microscopic play here, basket there, three-point play, didn't get the call, whatever, unlucky.
Yeah.
Right? Is the difference between being in 5th or 13th. Quite frankly, it's where we are in this league. It's exactly right.
Let's take a call before we go to break.
Sure.
Ron in Florida, I think, is first. Or we're going to go Lonnie in North Carolina
first.
Whatever
you want.
Okay. Lonnie in North Carolina, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Okay.
I don't know if you guys see what I see when I look at NC State play, but, I mean, they don't run plays. It's like a person gets the ball, he goes one-on-one, and usually is forced into a bad shot. They seldom look down low, and you got Funderburk working out pretty good last night. They seldom look down low. Everybody's going one-on-one. Markel, Bryce, all of them going one-on-one. They don't run plays. I wonder if you guys see the same thing. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay. Thank you, Ronnie. I think they do run plays.
Yeah.
I think if Kevin Keats walked through this door right now, he'd be offended by that call. No, I think they run plays.
Yes, he probably.
Coach is
if he gave it a thought, he would be offended.
Coach, I'm sure, isn't happy with that 31-13 free throw attempt discrepancy after his comments after the Florida State game, which sound pretty similar. But, you know, Markel Johnson last night gave you a decent game.
Yeah.
He had 21 points, 10 assists. I mean, State shot 48% from the field, 84% from the line. Those are numbers that if you had told me before the game, I said, you know what, NC State got a really good shot.
Right.
But there's just something about this series right now that it just doesn't seem to matter, does it? And that's a problem.
Yeah,
if you're a red and white guy.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
It's definitely got a thread to it that is somehow or another Carolina's elixir to getting better shows up when NC State does.
And I go back, and if the boys want to look this thing up, when Garrison Brooks was on our show,
Coach Williams came in the locker room and told him.
Well, no, when Garrison Brooks was on our show,
right,
we said to him, hey, we have figured out the problem. Next time you guys go into funk, just play NC State. And he kind of smiled. And, of course, he was very humble and answered the question. But here we go. I mean, the Heels lose 7 in a row after, of course, beating NC State. And lo and behold, take care of business with a 22-4 run trailing in the second half.
But the scary part, you know, not that Carolina's going to, you know, cross barriers and move into the nation's top 10 tomorrow.
They are not.
But the thing about it is, from a confidence perspective, they beat an NCAA tournament team.
Maybe.
So if you're going to Syracuse on Saturday, why wouldn't you think you could play well?
Hey, North Carolina's been in a ton of games. I mean, they're 1-6 in games that's determined by 3 points or less. It's
right.
Not like we keep harping on the fact that, hey, Roy Williams recruits good players, man.
Yeah.
It's not like They got Wes Durham and Mark Packer on the wings. I mean, they got some dudes now.
They're better now.
Yeah, they're better than that. I mean, yeah. Cole Anthony's a NBA guy, and Garrison Brooks, when he's dialed in. And how about his free throw craziness, right? I mean, there was a stretch of time he couldn't beat Chester Fuller from the line.
Yeah.
And he was tremendous last night.
I want to I will add this. I think Garrison Brooks has helped himself to probably third team All-ACC for sure, and wouldn't be surprised if he got some second team consideration.
Well, when you vote, you'll figure that part out.
Yeah, and you vote too.
You're or not vote. By the way, the sound clip that we played.
Going to break
with Roy. That was apparently a student at North Carolina asking the question that Roy kind of snapped a little bit.
Well, Joel Berry said, you know.
I'll be honest with you, I didn't care for that answer.
3-4 years ago that he wasn't sure that NC State was a rivalry the way Carolina won, and the student reset that statement and asked him, and Roy wasn't much into that last night.
I mean, you know, telling the kid to stay in school, hey, you know, it's a student newspaper guy asking the question.
The kid may have been a sophomore.
I don't care. I mean, you know.
Or our friend Lauren Brownlow will be here.
Is Lauren back again?
Lauren's coming back on the show today.
It's the Brownlow show.
It is.
But, you know, if a quote-unquote – journalist had asked that question, you can go off on it. I mean, if a student asks you the question, you know, hey, you won the game. Can you imagine what the answer would have been? I mean, Roy's already given me a couple about, I hate coming in here looking at you people. You know how he's giving, and I don't blame Coach at all. I don't. I mean, you know, the last thing you want to do is talk to the media after another tough loss, but I mean, that was a good win for North Carolina.
That was.
And, you know, the kid's sitting there trying to do his job, you know, he's jumping in the deep end of the pool and, son, you better stay in school. Yeah, he's going to stay in school. He works for the school newspaper.
All right. We'll come back another night of entertaining basketball, and we got one more to cover. We'll go to Atlanta next on this show, but a quick reminder to you that tomorrow night it's ladies' night here on ACC Network, and we got a twin bill for you as always, and that is 6 o'clock, BC at Louisville. Jen Hildreth, LaChana Robinson will be there, and then 8 o'clock, Westmore and NC State try and get back on the winning track. Pittsburgh in town. Or no, I'm sorry, Syracuse at NC State.
You sure? You got that?
Syracuse all at right. NC State.
Make sure we get that right.
Well, I was reading the card. I was reading the...
Your card?
The other card I have. The one that they send out that tells you all this. We'll take a break. Number 10, NC State and Syracuse tomorrow night, 8 o'clock here on ACC Network.
Well done.
Wolfpack's two games behind Louisville.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
All right, there's one other game to address from last night's wild night in the league. In Atlanta, the suddenly resurgent, red-hot at home, Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Yeah,
couldn't win at home to start the KCC campaign.
Now they
campaign.
Can't lose at home. And the Tigers come rolling in there fresh off that 69% shooting performance against BC and threw up a little 2 of 20 from 3 last night.
Burned them all at Conti Forum, huh?
You know, I mentioned this to the boys yesterday. You know, when it's a golf analogy. When a guy goes low on Thursday and shoots 62, what does he do on Friday?
81.
That's it. So Clemson last night, 2 of 20 from beyond the arc.
Meanwhile, Jose Alvarado playing air guitar out of the corners.
Yep. How about that?
James Banks' dunk on somebody Hunter Tyson.
Hurt somebody.
Moses Wright, who played 1 year of high school basketball, by the way. Clemson just couldn't throw it in the water.
Nope. Simple as that.
And good looks, too. It wasn't about, you know, Georgia Tech ended up playing man last night.
Yeah.
Because Clemson was crushing their zone. And Jackets end up riding Alvarado and Michael DeVoe to the win last night by 9 to go to 8-9. Tied with the Tigers. By the way, they play again in 9 days. So you'll get another rerun of that series.
Boy, look at those standings. NC State, Georgia Tech, Clemson, all 8-9.
Notre Dame, Syracuse.
8-8. BC, 7-10. Hokies are 6-10. Pitt, Miami, 6-11. It was a glob night, man. It was an amazing glob night. North Carolina, 15th, W.
Yeah.
Wake Forest, 14th, W. Georgia Tech, under glob, W. I mean, look at this. You wondered why we called it the glob? Now you know. The big three at top, really good.
Virginia, 7 teams within 2 games.
Virginia looks like the 4th team. But I tell you what, Virginia Duke this weekend, keep your eye on that one. And then the rest of them. Notre Dame, Syracuse, State, Clemson. Hey, choose your poison.
Let me tell you, the scary thing is I know NC State's in, and you mentioned all the quad one wins, five of them. The three games difference right now between Virginia and Notre Dame and Syracuse at 8-8 is not a good thing at this particular point.
Well, it's easy to draw the line if you didn't know any better.
That's what I mean. Because nationally, somebody's going to say, well, I see those four. The rest of them, I'm not interested.
And here's the other thing. I mean, Notre Dame doesn't have a win against a ranked team.
Correct. Their best win non-conference-wise, UCLA.
Who's obviously playing much better.
Right.
Playing great.
And in Mike Bray's case, they need UCLA to play a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
But good win for Georgia Tech. They find themselves now back in the mix. By the way, no update yet, no word one way or the other. Jackets went to 500 last night overall with the win about their appeal. It's going to be a consistent topic in the ACC until some sort of official statement is put out there, by the way, in my opinion.
Well, here's the other thing that's good news for Georgia Tech. Mm. You look at the rest of the schedule, and they want to finish, you know, plus 500 in ACC play for the first time in a while.
Since 2004.
Which is crazy. That's a bar bet.
Second time since 1996.
You know, I mean, again, it's nuts if you think about it.
Right.
But you look at the rest of their schedule, and it is certainly manageable, and they're at home where they, like I said, they've now won four consecutive ACC home games, and all that is positive for Josh Pastner's group and for Clemson. Obviously, a tough loss last night with all the momentum. They get Florida State this weekend.
With three games left, they don't get back on a plane until they go to the tournament.
Pretty good.
Yep. So, that being said, can we go back to calls here before we go to break? I know we had another one there. Ron in Florida. Is Ron's still there. Ron, good morning. Welcome to Packer and Durham.
Yeah, good morning, sir. It's great to meet you guys. I remember 1990 when none of the schools from the Big Four in North Carolina made it to the conference championship. You know, first and only time that's ever happened. What are the chances of that repeating? What are the chances of the Big Four from North Carolina not making the championship game? According to
the championship game or the semifinals?
The championship game of the ACC tournament.
Well, there's a distinct chance that there's somebody Tobacco Road not appearing live in Greensboro.
Absolutely.
Sure.
I mean, you could have Florida State and Louisville as easily as you could have anybody else.
Yeah. Or Virginia.
Yeah.
Or someone, like you said, the Glob.
Right.
I mean, nothing is sacred in this year's world of college basketball, mm-hmm. even though I do think when you take inventory of this league, I know Duke lost last night, but the big three I still think are a cut above everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have the first two games where they don't have to play.
Right.
I mean, it's such a huge advantage. The three teams with the most depth will not have to play 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, I think that's advantage, whatever combo you want of Florida State, Duke, and Louisville.
Yeah. Look, there's those four in particular, and then there is no telling. Somebody in the Glob is going to win a couple games in Greensboro.
Well, they're going to have to, don't they?
Well, no, but I mean, you're going to talk like I'm saying somebody has the possibility to get to Friday.
I mean, we got 15 teams in the league. There's four that we actually feel comfortable about. I mean, that means there's 11 dudes playing games Tuesday, Wednesday.
But, Pac, we're talking about somebody getting to Friday. I think there's a real chance somebody cuts in the top four for Friday.
Well, you've got the great stat, 17 times?
17 times
years?
In ACC history. In the history of the event, only 17 times has the top four been to the semifinals. Now, last year was the fourth time since 2000, actually since 1995. 95, when we had a four-way tie for first at 12-4, was the last time before 2000 that the top four went to the semis.
I think that will be a very good talking point in 2.5 weeks. Because, you know, I think you draw the line, right? Regardless of what happens in the Duke-Virginia game Saturday.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
And if Virginia wins the game, it really makes it interesting coming down the stretch in terms of what we just assume the top three are. Because Virginia, if a W this week, Wes, they go to 12-5, and Duke's 13-5.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, man.
Yeah,
Who knows?
There's all sorts of interesting little dynamics here. By the way, we've got a big Wednesday night coming up for you of ACC basketball.
It's a glob night.
I
mean, the Hoos are in it, but it's a glob kind of night tonight. It is. It's a glob special. Virginia Tech. Yeah. Anytime those two get together, hey, it's a good old fashioned love fest.
Syracuse and Pitt.
Syracuse Pitt is an absolute glob special, and so is Notre Dame BC.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you got. Those standings. I'm sorry, Fuller. Didn't know my boy. I didn't know my boy's underneath my feet. He's normally over there with you.
Yeah, he's over there today.
I drop kicked him by mistake.
Virginia, obviously, with the lead they have now of three full games on this deal. Cavaliers, I mean, they're in an interest.
Let me tell you who Virginia's looking at. They're not looking in the rearview mirror. Virginia, the way they're playing
and
winning,
that's what I mean.
They're looking front. What's ahead of us? You know what? We take care of business tonight. We win this bad boy. We get to 12-5. Bring on Duke.
Yeah.
Because that becomes an incredible golden opportunity for them, not only within the NCAA tournament, Wes, but within the standings of the Atlantic Coast
Tell
Conference.
Me all the teams in the country that want to play Virginia outside the ACC when it goes to the NCAA tournament.
Well,
get excited about playing them?
Well, you got the defending national champs. They got NCAA championship DNA. They play great defense. And they're playing their best basketball.
Right.
And Tony Bennett is a brilliant coach. So, yeah, that's enjoy your picnic.
John in North Carolina before we get to the timeout. John. Hello, John.
John, have John call us back. I'll take a little SiriusXM love here. Just, John, we have a bad connection. Just call us back. We'll put you on top of the line. By the way, who's running radio today back in Bristol?
Yeah, we got that.
What's our lineup?
Ezzy's handling.
Oh, Ezzy's good.
Ezzy's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Dave Parker took care of us. We're back in the pack up there on the shelf.
And by the way, if you want to know what that American flag is up there.
Yeah, tell the folks. That's a great story.
It's a really cool story. The old radio show, Primetime with the Pac-Man, I had a listener who joined the service, went to Kuwait, and that flag was his boy's in Kuwait. There's a picture up there of him and his guys and the picture of the American flag. That is the flag. And so he brought it back and gave it to me, and I was overjoyed with it. So we decided to put the American flag up top there, along with our backing the pack since 1963 Dave Parker glasses.
Not the former pirate.
Nope. Those are medias, or medias. Future swallowing hole of chicken parmesan for as much as we can.
Dave's very kind to tell us that, you know, he can come by any time. I'm not sure he's ready for.
I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready right now.
Page one of the menu over here.
No menu. Just bring it. That's how we roll. You come rolling to the town like that, and, you know, just give us your best shot. We'll load up.
Before we get to the baseball and lacrosse scoreboard, we're going to try John in North Carolina more time.
Call us back. We'll
go right to the top. Yeah.
That's how we do it.
John, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Good.
We're good now. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank y'all for having your patience with me because I couldn't figure out how to talk to you.
It's okay. But we have that problem too.
Well, I understand. My question is, what do you guys think if Virginia runs the table and now we've got, you know, a victory over Duke. We've split with Florida State. We've got a victory over Louisville. What does that mean? And I'll hang up and let y'all tell me.
All right, appreciate the phone call.
Okay. You're in the tournament.
No, and that means you're going to be, 15-5?
Yeah, you're going to be 15-5. You're going to probably finish second. Right, Pat?
Nah, that's you got all your color-coordinated card over there. You do all the math on that one, Wes. I don't know.
You're going to be 15-5.
Double by. You're in the NCAA tournament.
You're going to
be playing your best basketball of the year. You would have won 11 of your last 12.
Duke. If Duke beats Carolina, their only loss is you're going to be 15-5. You're going to win the tiebreaker with Duke.
Oh, no, don't.
By virtue of your win over Florida State.
Don't do this.
Oh, I had a guy on Twitter yesterday ask me a question. If Wake Forest wins tonight, what seed will they be in the ACC tournament?
Well, probably 14
got a better. I got a better chance of telling you how to fire a rocket down at Cape Canaveral, man.
No, if the Hoos win out,
they're going to be 15-5. They're probably going to finish second.
I don't know where they're going to finish. They're going to have a double bye. Keep winning.
Well, they're going to have a double bye now unless the wheels come off.
Well, if they go 15-5, what happens if Duke wins out except for the loss to Virginia?
But, Mark, they've got a three-game lead on five.
I know. I just told you. They're going to have a – you're not listening.
No, double bye.
Double bye. They're going to be 15-5. They're going to be in the tournament. Now go play. I mean, what else? I mean,
no, we're saying the same thing. I'm saying they're going to have a double bye as it is, whether they go 15-5 or not.
No, but that wasn't the guy's question. John wanted to know if they win out, what's the story? The story
15-5 and they'll finish second.
I don't know if you're going to be second or not. It doesn't really matter. You're just going to be in Greensboro. Yeah. You're not going to play the first 2 days. And Florida State and Duke and Louisville are really good. You're going to have to go beat them some more. Right. So, I mean, strap it on tight. Let's go.
Let me also say this for future clarity on this show. Those of you that call and want to know where somebody's going to finish and da-da-da, we can't tell you. The reason being is there's – right now, we just told you, there's seven teams within two games of one another. It's crazy.
Just put your feet up and enjoy it, man.
Yeah, just enjoy watch the last 2 weeks. And when we get to, like, Friday at the women's tournament, the show we're going to do a week from Friday, we'll have a decent handle around it.
But not now.
Not ironclad by any means. But I think that, you know, we're going to have a better understanding of it. I will say this. The fact Virginia has a three-game lead on the glob with 2 weeks to play, 12 days to play, essentially is a pretty big deal at this point, in my opinion. I think three games is a pretty big separator between four and five, and one that is convenient enough that where the committee can get in that room, and if it's three at the end, that's an easy line to draw, and that's not a good thing.
Well, we know who the four teams are that are going to get the double bye, and we also know right now, today, guaranteed lock, Florida State controls their destiny to win the ACC regular season. If they win out, they are the number one seed. Guaranteed lock.
That's it.
If that happens. That is what we do know.
Okay. Get you updated on some other things. Great day for baseball yesterday in the ACC. 8 games on the card. League went 7-1.
7 in Clemson, right?
Yeah, well.
First time they lost this year.
Midweek to East Tennessee State.
Yep. So 7 wins in Clemson yesterday in baseball.
Louisville a winner, beat Xavier. Virginia a winner. North Carolina shut out A&T. NC State.
That'd be undefeated NC State.
That'd be right.
Wolfpack fans bummed out this morning.
Coach Avent threw an 11 number up there. Danny Hall and the Jackets after a sweep of, Ohio
They're
State?
They're playing good baseball, too.
They 2 touchdowns on Gardner-Webb. Virginia Tech, the Battle of the New River. They beat Radford 3-2. Highlanders, gone it.
6 ACC teams ranked in this week's top 17 nationally.
Wow.
Whatever, again, choose you. There's 8,000 polls.
Yeah.
But 6 ACC teams in the top 17.
Softball game of note, Duke wins, beats North Carolina Central 10-2. Virginia and High Point, UVA wins 18-15. Michael Krause of the Cavaliers, by the way, has the flu, bounces back, and leads Virginia to the win.
I told you, there's other people with the flu that go to work. I mean, you guys point a finger at me, got everybody sick. There's Michael Krause, sick as a dog, going out there wearing people out.
Right.
This is America, man. You roll up your sleeves, you get to work. You're sick, get a dog. If you're really sick, get two dogs.
Lars Tiffany, by the way, after the match, first of all, what a huge effort by Michael Krause. He didn't practice yesterday because of some sort of stomach bug, and we weren't sure he was going to play at all. For him to come out and score 5 goals and have a couple assists was a big effort. I'd say so. Flu game for Michael Krause.
Remember Jordan when he won the championship?
Yeah, Utah.
Again, Brian Ives, I'm sure he's got the poster in his room. He's sick as a dog. What's he do? Give me the ball.
Give me the ball.
Get out of the way.
Right.
Give me the ball. Get out of the way. Let's go win a championship.
Yeah.
Me and Brian Ives. Number one, baby.
You and Brian Ives.
You can win one of these right here.
All right.
You know what else does this?
What?
Clemson fans and South Carolina fans. 6. 6. Soon to be 7 in November.
Busy 8 o'clock hour coming up. Lauren Brownlow.
is back.
Returns to this show.
Has that ever happened on this show? This is the 129th edition of
Packer. She's well-deserving. She's well-deserving.
Have we ever had a guest go back-to-back days? I don't think we have.
Maybe Friday, Monday, but not in a consecutive situation, Tuesday, Wednesday type deal.
So you think we've had a Friday, Monday?
I think, yeah. Billis, maybe.
Well, Billis actually was the first ever to do twice in the same show. He left, came back.
That's true.
Nobody will ever do that again.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.